Welcome to the Trauma Healing Collective podcast. Thank you all for tuning in. This is Kimberly Christian. I am just dropping in to remind you all that this is going to be part two of our interview with Anna Jones. If you missed part one, you can go back to our episode from last week and listen to that. We are going to be kind of dropping in right on the middle of that conversation today. So just wanted to give everybody a heads up. If you haven't listened to part one, maybe you want to hit pause and go back and listen to that now. But we are going to be heading into the second part of that interview with Anna Jones, who is a registered dietitian here in Tallahassee, Florida. So we hope you enjoy the second part of our conversation with her today.
A lot of my clients have had disordered eating disorders, you know, and some don't even realize that, you know, like we were talking about permission earlier, right? Like they don't even realize that the diet culture is even what they're thinking. They just think this is how it is, right? Like that hunger is something to be eradicated, that like food isn't the thing that satisfies, it's water or it's positive thinking or it's whatever. And that dissociation that comes from the disembodied place of you're now in survival mode, trying to actually have conversations with people and do your job or go about your day, and you're starving, you're literally starving. And so just another question we had, you know, like, what are the common myths that are in your field surrounding these kind of things? Like, you know, the big one being, if you're hungry, you shouldn't eat at all, right? You know, like it's some moral failing on your side if you actually have hunger, which is a biological response to, you know, needing food. What would you say is the common misconception about your field and just some myths that you run into that can be helpful to our listeners?
Gosh, there are so many. I mean, there's so much fear around food, you know, just like what you were just talking about. I mean, I think that's a big myth and misconception, is that, well, what I was talking about earlier, that food needs to be something we calculate and measure, and instead of, and not understanding, right, that those acts of whether it be counting calories or points or whatever, that those acts actually disconnect us from our bodies, right? Because we're turning to this external information in order to tell us what our body needs, when we have all that information inside of us, right? And like you said, Kim, that starts so early on with the messages. And sadly and unfortunately, it's earlier and earlier, I think, with social media and just just everything, media in general, right? And just the way our society like talks about diets, that it is just the norm. It has become the norm when it's really disordered. I love there's this kind of like, if you think of extremes, right? We all have, like I said, a relationship with food, right? We all eat, we have to eat multiple times a day. And it has become, so if you think of on a spectrum, right, on one end, like you mentioned eating disorders, right? You have diagnosable, you've got bulimia, binge eating disorder, anorexia, you know, extreme issues with eating and body, right? And then you have sort of, as you move closer to more quote unquote normal eating, right? You have disordered eating, which sort of lives, I'm imagining like the spectrum, right? Normal or disordered eating lives in the middle, but disordered eating means, right, skipping meals. It means cutting out whole food groups, right? It means feeling guilt and shame around just eating, right? It means moving our bodies in order to pay penance for the food that we've eaten, right? But you think about these things that I've just said, how normal is all of that in the world that we live in, right? Yeah. It's quote unquote exactly. normal.
Right.
Yeah. But it's so disordered. But
yeah,
this is where most of us live, in this place mm-hmm. of disorder. And so then if you keep going on that spectrum of what true normal, right? Normal mm-hmm. eating, not disordered, that's where intuitive eating lives. It's this peaceful relationship around food that isn't guilt ridden.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. That isn't surrounded by a lot of shame. It is mm-hmm. Feeling good in our body, moving it in ways that feel good, not about, right. That's an external or an internal feeling of mm-hmm. just that concept. When I talk to people about that, they're like, oh, I never realized there was another reason to move my body besides burning calories or mm-hmm. paying penance for the food that mm-hmm. we've eaten. Right. When movement should be about, and I said the word should, which I really don't like the word should, we should on ourselves too much.
I think this is an appropriate time to use should.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. But movement, it should be joyful. Find joy, enjoyment and joyfulness mm-hmm. in moving our body. And it should bring peace to us, right? Not more stress, right?
Right.
And so I think those are, hopefully I hit on some myths and misconceptions, but I think there's so many around. And I think the world, right? The message that I'm sharing, that y'all are sharing, is so different from not just what like diet companies are selling, mm-hmm. right? But also very often in doctor's offices, right? The main focus is on, just eat less and move more. Mm-hmm. And that's all you need to do. Well, I've talked to some
people. Even give you like pamphlets about a diet to go on.
Right.
Like,
God,
yes. Mm-hmm. Yep. And it happens all the time where mm-hmm. people's, you know, are sent off. And what do they do? What do? You Google, right? You Google.
Yep.
Right. And then what do you come up with? Like, these diets are the first things to pop up and they're selling you the answer. Yep. And that this kind of the scary thing about mm-hmm. intuitive eating growing in popularity, I mentioned earlier, mm-hmm. right? This non-diet approach, people sort of being over dieting, knowing it doesn't really work, you know.
Yeah.
But a lot of diet companies have gotten sort of wind mm-hmm. of this.
Yes.
And are co-opting intuitive eating. And so making their plans right out to seem like, oh, it's not a diet. It's a lifestyle change. Right.
Mm-hmm. And God, I hate that phrase.
I know. It's bull.
But to most people, right. It's like, it's not a diet.
Nice.
Yeah. Right. Right. And so they get sucked in because they're mm-hmm. master salespeople, right? It's a
marketing
industry. Right. Diet industry is a 70+ billion with a $1 billion annual industry.
Wow.
So it is.
So you mentioned billion. I just want to say this because I'm also a big podcast listener. So I recently heard on a podcast that I was listening to because, you know, they were talking about money and capitalism and all of that. And they said the thing that makes them so mad about the word versus million and billion is that million, if you take it and switch it to seconds. So if you take 1 million seconds, that is, so if you think about it in terms of vacation, that is 11 days. So they're like, that's a good vacation, right? Everybody needs a vacation from time to time. So a million seconds is 11 day vacation. 1 billion seconds is 31 years. So I was driving. I was like on accident. So you said $70 billion.
Plus.
Okay. So
that's just the diet industry. Yeah, that's just the diet industry.
Think about that.
That's not the fitness industry. That's not the beauty industry, right? These are all industries who are entering into really what I've sort of really has just, I don't know, come to me loud and clear is our seeking worthiness, right? And these companies selling that to us, right? Or, you know, and then we're just buying right into that.
Well, and they're designed to fail. So what a great money-making opportunity, because you just keep making more and making more, and you just keep making more money. So it's a great opportunity for somebody who wants to keep making money, not a great opportunity for somebody on the other side of it who just keeps feeling like a failure, and it's like it's their fault and there's something wrong with them because they can't succeed.
Well, and that's what it is, right? Is they sell you the cure, but when it eventually plummets, which it will because they're not sustainable, they then put the blame on the individual instead of the actual diet. And so it's like double shame, you know, like it's shame on top of shame. Like, look, I failed another diet. I gained the weight back, which you inevitably do.
And more.
Yeah. And if you think there's no other industry that is that way, that like, I always use the example, and I don't know where this came from or why I think this, but say your fridge breaks, right? Your refrigerator breaks.
Yeah.
You don't blame yourself when the refrigerator breaks. You call the company and you go, hey, come fix this. It's broken. Right. Yeah. And so, but with dieting and the diet industry, we, like you said, we heap the shame onto ourselves that this thing that they sold us didn't work, when that's at a physiological, but physiological, emotional, mental, right? There's so much going on there that, like you said, it's not sustainable. It cannot work long-term. Yeah. And I mean, the research backs that up, right? Somewhere around, and the statistics vary to a degree, but 90 to 95% of weight loss attempts fail.
Yeah.
That's the diet's failing, not human beings doing the, you know, doing the dieting. And I can't tell you how many times people have sat across from me and they say, well, it worked, but then I did this, or I, you know, and it's all the blame and shame is on them,
on the
instead
person.
Of like, right. And that's just part of, like I said, drinking the Kool-Aid, just thinking that like, oh, well, this must work. We see the befores and afters and all that. Right. And it's all nonsense. It's all just made up to sell a product.
Right.
Yeah, and just that internalized fat phobia, like what's wrong with being over a certain weight, right? Like what's wrong with that? Why are we so, why is losing weight what everybody thinks is needs to happen, you know? And so it, oh man, we could talk for hours on this.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Yes. Absolutely. Well, and just on the weight and health, right? Yes. I mean, that's a big reason why we're all so disordered in our thinking, is because there is such a belief that weight and health are, you know, are connected, and that weight causes ill health.
Right.
When that actually the research bears that out, that that is not, they're correlated, right? So it's the difference between causation and correlation. Something can be correlated, but not cause the other. If you think about like chronic diseases that are blamed on weight, so let's think about whatever, high cholesterol, high blood pressure, diabetes, those happen, right? Those chronic diseases occur in people of all body shapes, sizes, weights. Right. So if it was completely caused by weight or being in a larger body, it would only happen in people who are in larger bodies, and it doesn't.
Right.
To me, that is such a but that belief, right? And it comes down to fat phobia, anti-fat bias, right? Yep. Which we then you talked about, I think it's important to that internalized fat phobia, just that concept. Like a lot of people don't even know what that is, but it's that taking on and internalizing that sort of fear and that fear of being in a larger body, that you're automatically, I mean, what it makes people think is that they are sick and they are in need of fixing, right? Their bodies are ill. I mean, that you think about, it's a, you know, the way sort of, and I don't even like to use the word, but the O word, obesity, right? The way that the obesity epidemic, it's an epidemic, and the way it's talked about in the media, how does that make people in larger bodies feel? Does it, right? It's pathologizing. It makes you feel
like ill. Shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like you have some disease, you know, like,
yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And what happens when you feel like shit? Do you want to take care of yourself? No.
No. You want ice cream or, you know.
Yeah.
You
know,
yes.
Go eat fast food because, like, I'm fat.
Or you feel really hopeless, like there's because the diets have always failed. You've done a million diets. You've done every single one that's out there, and none of them are successful. And you know, we're talking about doctors before. And you know, there was one point where I was having some health issues, and I was going to a bunch of different specialists. One was telling me to do, you know, low carb. The other one was telling me no dairy. The other one was telling me, like, no, you know, low protein. I was like, what am I supposed to eat? You've just taken all the major food groups. So I'm just supposed to drink water. Cool. Like I'm really lost. And that was kind of, it was very soon after that when I read the Fuck It Diet. And I was like, well, thank God, because none of these fools know what they're talking about, because I've gone to like 3 different specialists and every single one of them took a major food group off of the table for me. So, it was, And so, when a doctor is telling you that you need to do this to like save your life, what else are you thinking you're supposed to do? But I think it's in, the Fuck It Diet where she talks about, the study that was done, and you and I might have more information about this, but with people who are, you know, even like considered morbidly obese, but if they maintain their weight over the lifetime, that their health outcomes are actually better than people who are going up and down constantly because of dieting. And so, you know, maybe dieting is actually the problem. Maybe obesity isn't the problem, you know? And so, it is just, like Shay said, I could talk about this all day.
I mean, there's quite a lot of evidence that shows that we know for a fact that weight cycling, which is what you were just talking about, the yo-yo dieting, the ups and downs, is harmful to our health. Another piece of that is the stigma that we were talking about, right? The stigma that people in larger bodies endure day in and day out, right? The trauma that is just being in a larger body and existing in our society, right? That is harmful. Like we know that that is also supported by evidence, but all of that gets swept to the side and ignored, right? And the focus is then only put on quote unquote, fixing people's body and helping. I mean, you look at what now the weight loss drugs that are just all the rage and blowing up and And it just, I mean, it truly like, it makes me cringe. It breaks my heart because people, they live in the world, right? They live in this fat phobia, internalized fat phobia, where they're like, if I lose the weight, all my problems will be
solved, all won't be gone.
Right.
Yeah.
The doctor will quit talking to me about it, you know, I'll please everyone. Right. And in the end, it's not helping people's relationship with food. And if we don't do that, if we don't get to the root of it, right, then no amount of weight loss is going to solve everyone's problems. Right. And so I think also it's important to point out, like a thought that just came to mind, it's behaviors matter, right? The behaviors and how we care for ourselves, which is what this non-diet approach is about. Cause I think a lot of, going back to your myth or misconception, I think a lot of people with intuitive eating think it's just about eating whatever you want, whenever you want and not right. And that is not, it's ultimately not the case. When you are, mindful, right? We talked about mindful eating. When you're aware, when you're intentional, when you are aware of what your body is telling you, I can't tell you how many times like people shared like, oh my gosh, like I noticed I wanted this, I wanted that, I didn't want this, right? And it's not about just going off the rails. A lot of times I describe it like a pendulum, right? We live in this restriction. And then like you came across the Fuck It Diet book, or someone comes across intuitive eating or whatever, right? And we're living, if you think about a pendulum and you're living in this restrictive dieted all your life kind of place, a lot of people discover intuitive eating, non-diet, whatever, and they let that pendulum go and it swings to the total opposite side, right? Of just literally, I'm going to eat whatever I want. Well, ultimately, that doesn't feel good either, right? We're paying attention, that's where the mindfulness.
If we're paying attention,
The awareness, the mindfulness comes into play. Mm-hmm. If you're paying attention, that doesn't feel good either. And so it's then, okay,
eventually,
yes, you come back to the middle, and that's where intuitive eating lives, is this middle place of being able to listen, become more aware, not just ignore your body's signals, but pay attention, not just to the food, but also to your body, right? And to be able to truly care for it, not just restrict, you know, so.
Exactly. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. And I think it, at least for me, in my experience, it did take a little bit of allowing that pendulum swing to be able to figure out where the center was, because I had done this part for so long that my body needed to know that it could do this for a little bit and like be okay to figure out what it was like to trust that we could listen and be here. So it's a process and it's so hard, but absolutely. So,
and it's scary. Okay. That's a scary, like,
it's
that's
so scary,
right?
Because it's then like, oh my God, I'm going to stay here forever.
Right.
And, and then what happens? Because this is what everybody tells you to be afraid of. And this is why I've lived over here for so long.
Right. Yeah. And so, so often people who don't have maybe, you know, that fear takes over and they don't have guidance and they don't have someone kind of bringing them back to reality, right? Yeah. Then we boomerang back to the other side of the pendulum and go, oh gosh, I can't, that intuitive. I mean, I've read this comments on articles and people are like, that intuitive eating thing doesn't work. You know, you just eat whatever you want. And I gained X amount of pounds and all of this stuff. And so then they ricochet back into restrictive eating, but then that's why we live in these extremes.
Going back and forth.
And with that internalized fat phobia, because I know for me in my process of coming out of disordered eating, I'm in a larger body than I've been in probably my entire life, but I'm healthier than I've ever been. And that's the huge, you know, that's the piece that you have to sit with living in a marginalized body and processing the trauma that comes from judgment of being in a smaller body, now being in a larger body, and that judgment that comes along with being in a larger body. So it's been really interesting to watch, because I'm way healthier now than I was when I was in a smaller body. So being able to process the trauma and destigmatize that and saying, like, what's so wrong with being fat? You know, like this internal fat phobia, like I'm doing better than I've ever done. And
I feel better.
I feel better.
And I actually love myself.
I know we're about out of time, but I want
Anna. I know we have more questions. We have
we could talk forever, but are there things that you really want to talk about, Anna, that we haven't brought up yet that you really want to make sure we get on this podcast before we come to a close?
Oh gosh. I think we have so much to say.
We might have to do, because I think this is going to end up being 2 episodes. So we might have to do a part 3, but I'm totally cool with that, because I could literally talk to you forever.
I know. Seriously.
Well, I love that you're trying to keep it short, because I think when I come across podcasts that are like 1 hour and 20 minutes, it's like a big undertaking, right? Yeah. And I love to share podcasts with clients. And I think it's just, so, you know, keeping it short is good, but there is so much to say. I think we've talked about a lot off the top of my head. I can't think of anything, you know. I think one thing we touched on maybe, but is the body dissatisfaction, is the normalcy of, and understanding that the body image stuff is often at the root of the eating issues, right? We think it's just about the food. Like, people kind of just tell me what to eat and I'll eat it and, you know, and whatever. It's so much deeper than that. And so it's so important to get to the roots. And I think the work that I do, the best work that I do, is alongside, you know, a therapist, someone who can go into, like, I absolutely stay in my lane, right? And try to focus on food and bodies. It does get deeper than I ever thought I would, just because that's just the nature of this work. But I think it's so important to have support and understand that it's more than the food, right? That it's very often, you know, related to how we feel in our bodies. And that, mm-hmm. you know, what you all do in the somatic therapy and connecting people with their bodies. I mean, so many people are so disconnected that we don't even know what that's like to, we don't know what's in there because we've just stayed away for so long. Mm-hmm. And so, a statistic sort of that I came across recently that is just like sitting so heavy in my soul is that over 90% of women in particular are dissatisfied with their bodies.
90%. Right?
90%. Yes. And that, I think, in talking to, like, I was having lunch with a couple friends the other day and they're like, 90% seems even kind of low. She was like, I've never met anyone who's just like, yeah, I love my body. Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's looking at where does that come from? Why are we, no matter what body we're in, right. Like, no matter size, doesn't shape, matter. Weight,
yep.
it doesn't matter. It impacts all of us. And isn't that like, our bodies are amazing. And so,
yeah, we got to change that. We got to change that.
Yes. And that's what my hope is.
That's what we're doing. Intention. Yeah.
It is. Yes. We have too much stuff to do to be focusing on objectifying our bodies.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
Well, I want to ask these last few questions because I think it'll be really helpful for our listeners. So what are 3 books that you would recommend and why?
Yes. So we were just talking about, right, dissatisfaction with bodies and objectification and having more stuff to do, right, than just focus on our bodies. So one book that I love that I've done in a group that I've done individually with clients is More Than a Body. Your body is an instrument, not an ornament. It's by Lindsay and Lexi Kite. They're twins. They've done tons of research. And so it really is about what we were just talking about, getting to the roots of why do we believe the things we do about our bodies? Like where did that come from? And to me, it was hugely healing for me personally to understand more fully that idea of objectification and then self-objectification and how we turn that, you know, we are not just something to be looked at, which is, you know, women in particular, that is the belief that so many of us have from very early on, right? And so understanding that we are so much more than our appearance, right? That that we have souls, we have brains, we have stuff to do, right? And so understanding that your body is an instrument for living and not just something to be observed and looked at. So that one is wonderful, More Than a Body. Another one on body image stuff is The Body Is Not an Apology by Sonia Renee Taylor. Are y'all familiar with that one?
Yes.
Yeah. So good.
She's amazing.
So good.
That's awesome.
I've heard her speak. She's, you know, I've shared podcasts with clients. She is just that title, right? The Body Is Not an Apology is just super moving. And it's just a different perspective in thinking about being in our bodies and what they're meant for, right? And then of course, like the intuitive eating original works. They're on their 4th edition of the original intuitive eating book by Elise Resch and Evelyn Tribbley. Absolutely. I'm so grateful to those 2 people for creating this concept of intuitive eating. I almost feel like I'm going against but it's not the most I think it's so important, right? To have as a resource. There's also a workbook that you can kind of go deeper. And I've done that. I've worked with the book and the workbook with clients. But it's not like the most sit down and read, right? Which I think you mentioned the Fuck It Diet book. That one is really readable, right?
Yes.
There's another one that I like that she sticks with the same principles, like those 10, 10 principles of intuitive eating, but it's a little more fun, I guess, right? It doesn't move away from the science, but it, so it's called Just Eat It. And it's by Laura Thomas, and she's out of the UK. Okay. She's a dietitian, and she drops some F-bombs in there. So I always warn people, if that's offensive, you might not want to read that one.
Yeah. But I'm like, do I need to say the effort diet for this client?
Or I know.
Do I need to say the actual title?
Yes. And I, you know, I've never, I warn people, but I've never had anyone say, oh yeah, no, I can't
either.
Do that. Right.
Yeah. Like, they're like, sign me up. Where is it?
Right.
It does. It makes it more, maybe more readable, more interesting. Right. Sure, and so all of those are wonderful books. I could go on and on. I have a bit of an addiction to books and I'm constantly recommending them. So.
Well, I know you've got to get going, but Shay, did you want to ask the last couple of questions? Just if we can maybe rapid fire those before you have to get going.
Yeah. So, well, I don't really know. Well, where can listeners find you online?
Yeah. So, my website, mm-hmm. AnnaJonesRD.com. Mm-hmm. I'm actually, I've been working for like a year and a half with, a wonderful agency who's helping me redo my website, and it just went live on the 4th of July. So,
fireworks.
So yeah.
That's exciting.
And it's still a little bit under construction. It's there. So, yeah. And I've been writing blogs for, I don't know, 8 years, 10 years, something like that.
Awesome.
And so tons of content there, recipes, all sorts of stuff.
Cool.
I also have a newsletter that I send out every few weeks that just kind of supports this message that I'm, you know, mm-hmm. that I'm talking about. And so people can sign up for that on my website if they go to my website.
Awesome.
And then I'm also on Instagram. I don't, you know, I'm not blowing up Instagram, but I'm there too.
So. Awesome. Cool. Yeah. Okay. And then, you've got to run, but you also had some podcasts on here. So we'll put those in the show notes for people, if they want. And we'll also list the books that you recommended too, so that people can find those easily. So thank you so much for taking the time to meet with us today. I'm so excited for our listeners to hear this conversation. I think it's so important and just invaluable. So thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today.
Yeah, I loved it, y'all. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Anna.
Yeah. All right.
Have a great day.
You too.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
So that concludes our interview with Anna Jones. Thank you so much, Anna, for taking the time to talk with us about this very important topic. We really appreciate your time and just knowledge and all the work that you do in our community. So thank you so much. And we hope you all enjoyed listening to our conversation. Thank you.